Land. Left a good child
in the city.
I love that so much.
I don't know why I did that. It's like my winder key ran out, you know? It's like something around me.
I'm like,
left.
You see those, where they light Tickle Me Elmo on fire?
Yes.
That's what you sounded like. Like, you started very, and then you just kind of...
It reminds me of one of my favorite YouTube videos of all time. It's old. It came, okay, so when Cracked used to be good.
Oh.
In that.
Shots fired.
I feel like everyone agrees with me on that. The golden age of Cracked before anyone could write for Cracked. And there were like a team of 8 writers and they were great. And there was like Sean Baby and like all of the best writers. They used to, like, I think Sean Baby did them. He was always my favorite writer. He had like several series of just like unknown YouTube gold videos, and they were all dry and strange.
Also kind of back in the golden era of YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's this one, and it's kind of a classic, and I cannot watch it without going into hysterics every time, but it's the one with the singing bass fish that's dying.
Yeah.
And it's the do I did it dumb did it do, but it's just like but it's still like wags its little tail. But what's so funny is when it's not singing, the music's fine. And so it'll be like, do I did it? And then it's just like, and it's the funniest thing I have ever seen. And it's my favorite video ever. And that's what it reminds me of. There was also, and I'll be done after this, but I want to know if you've seen it, because it is also my other favorite video, and it's two metalheads camping at a lakeside, and they're both jamming the fuck out to music you can't hear.
Yes.
And they're just, and they'll like be like tending the fire, and then both swing just their hair. And then like one of them like just goes out to the lake at one point and screams or whatever. It's so funny. And the other one's just sitting there fanning the fire, but also headbanging. You can hear no music.
Oh boy,
those were the good old days of YouTube.
Oh man. Good morning.
Deep conversations.
First thing. Deep convos.
We deleted everything we recorded last night on purpose.
This is our second go at this.
Yes.
Last night we
got nowhere.
Absolutely not. We recorded, what was it, 53 minutes?
Almost an hour's worth of forgetful, slurred nonsense.
Oh man, we decided that we didn't even want to hear ourselves.
No, just deleted all of it.
So we deleted all of it. We're going to go after it again.
Yeah, it was garbage. So take two this morning. We have coffee instead of wine, which I feel like is going to make a better show.
For sure.
We learned that as natural as our rhythm is with each other, we still need a brain.
And don't get us wrong, we still chatted.
Oh, yeah.
We were making noises at each other in perfect rhythm.
But in no concept of organization, following any sort of communication timeline or topic.
You know those movies where like twins create their own language and nobody else? That's what we sounded like.
Yeah.
We sounded like Nell.
And nobody would have wanted to hear it anyway. I don't miss it.
Sometimes I wake up and I'm really sore.
Dude, that's why I did, that's why I was doing groin stretching this morning.
And sometimes it fades away, and sometimes I just realize that I think I have a bladder infection.
I have chronic do you know what interstitial cystitis is?
No.
I have it chronically. It's part of it's a bladder thing. And so when you drink a lot, and most women have it and they don't know it, but not many, I mean, a lot of women have it to my degree, but not like as many who just have it, but it's inflammation of the bladder. And so if you have a sensitive bladder and you drink things like a lot of coffee or energy drinks or alcohol, you can wake up and it's like this, it almost feels like a bladder infection. And when you pee, it doesn't burn, but you feel like it's just sore a little bit. And that's cystitis. You just need to flush out the inflammation.
Well, there's that.
But me having it all the time is one of the reasons it spasms so bad back in my kidneys.
Yeah.
But it,
Well, now I know.
Mm-hmm. We don't learn anything about our bodies. It's like in school, like we should.
Did you watch the lame video?
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it. I remember people, like, snickered a lot.
Yeah, because they, like, made all of the girls do it. I remember they made, in fifth grade, all of the girls one day had to get together and watch this, like, 80-year-old video about menstruation.
Yeah.
And, like, they gave us, like, a little kit of deodorant.
Yep.
And, like, some really cheap cardboard tampons. Mm. And all of the boys were just... like they made it a spectacle.
Yeah.
It was handled in the, it was like whoever thought like, this is how we need to teach girls about their bodies did not remember ever being a girl going through this or was not a girl, period.
Yeah.
I just remember.
That's my vote is they were just like, let's throw on a movie and give them some pads.
Yeah. And like make it this thing to where it's like, then they all feel singled out. Like all the boys are like, oh, they're all. One, I feel like the boys should have fucking watched it. Just like we need to watch shit about their bodies.
Exactly.
It's not a weird thing.
Welcome to sex ed in the South, dude.
Oh, God. I remember taking health and we learned nothing. And I understand why most people don't know these things. It's because we're not fucking taught them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what do you mean? We have our, this is our actual vehicle to get through this earth. It's just, it blows me away.
I get very passionate about how we don't learn life skills. In schools.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They used to. I did have one teacher who taught us how to write checks.
Well, see, and that's what I mean. Like, I mean, I know that that's not, nobody really has to balance a checkbook anymore.
But at the time, it was still kind of
relevant.
But at
the time, it's, yeah.
And it, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, I don't remember a lot of things I learned, but I remember that. I remember being taught how to write that check. I remember Coach Wells teaching me how to write that check.
I could still write and balance a checkbook if I needed to.
Yeah.
You know? Things like how do loans work?
Yeah.
Just adult. Like, how do you, you know, but instead it's so fucking standardized
test.
That's
the problem. It's like, oh, no, you have to only teach this shit for the standardized test that you don't use.
Yeah.
You will not use when you grow up, like, at all.
And I understand it.
Yeah, teachers have their hands bound.
Teachers are in such a shitty situation.
Yeah. The bureaucracy
it
of all of it's
sucks.
Terrible. Terrible. I took school so seriously.
Mm. See, once I got to the age of starting to drive, that's when I kind of started skipping out on things.
I did cut pep rallies. I would skip the fuck out of pep rallies. Me and my little batch of friends.
It was just like that, but with school.
We had an art studio and we would, there was like a little middle room in between like the Mac lab and the studio rooms. Really, honestly, I was very fortunate that school had that department. Mm-hmm. It was new and incredibly, there was some funding that was put into it.
Yeah.
And so we would like kind of hide out in that middle room in between the two, which was like the supply closet and just fucking skip the pep rallies my whole senior year because they were so...
They're unnecessary.
Well,
why
and they're
are they
redundant.
Mandatory?
They're redundant.
It's the same fucking thing.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole senior year, you know, pretty much once the drum line started through the hallways, which I don't know if everybody did that, but it was like the drum line would walk through all the hallways.
See, at least
everybody
that's
would
cool.
come out of their
like,
doors
yeah.
and go to the gym. And then once we heard that, we were like, and art room.
Right.
Let's go.
Let's duck out. I walked out middle of the day so many times because I was like, what's up next? Algebra, fuck that. And I, you know, left. The two or three times that I tried to leave in the middle of a pep rally, someone stopped me.
Oh, yeah. No, they'd have, like, guards at the door.
Yeah. Because football is church here.
Yeah.
So you couldn't skip that. They pulled us into an auditorium to tell us that they spent $6 million on the new football stadium.
I am feeling this so hard.
But everyone had to share fucking books.
That's exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And you couldn't take them home half the time.
Ugh. You know, all of those desks that are missing half of their screws, those are going to stay that way.
Yeah.
But.
But we will have the nicest fucking auditorium. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was kind of when I checked out.
Yeah.
It was the classic case of someone who is, and I'm not like tooting my own, I'm like, I'm so smart. I'm just saying I wasn't being challenged.
See, I had to challenge myself to stay interested.
Yeah.
My whole senior and half my junior year, I just took college courses.
Yeah.
You know, and I was actually fortunate enough for a small school.
Mm-hmm.
My school did some things wrong,
yeah,
but they did a lot of things right. And TJC, the community college, offered courses at school, so I didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
So the majority of my class schedule, my senior year, I could leave at noon
because
I'd finished. You know, I had nothing left to do. And they were like, well, we can't keep you here.
Mm-hmm.
Leave. Because I'm not, this is going to sound very arrogant, and I know that. Like every now and again, I had to take like a normal class, like, because there was like normal AP.
Yeah.
And then like concurrent, which was college.
Yeah.
And so when I ran out of AP, I took college, but like I had to, for some reason, I don't remember what, take like just a normal
class.
Yeah,
there's a couple of those.
And I was so checked out.
Yeah.
I was so checked out.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I do get that.
And if there were options, because it was kind of a weird catch-22, because to get into the AP classes, you had to be doing well in your basic classes.
Yeah.
And I wasn't showing up to basic classes. So there's no way I was going to be doing well enough. And I mean, of course, a lot of that's on me. I should have had the drive to do it myself to then get into the AP classes and do things like that. But then it kind of didn't even have a point because we didn't have the concurrent. We didn't have that.
See, that shocks me that y'all didn't have that.
Yeah, because we were large. We had just moved to like 4A.
Man, yeah. And it's such a shame too, because it really does set you up.
Like, and if I got we to did, go to... no one ever fucking told me about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's such a good thing to have. Like, it made it to where, like, by the time I graduated high school, I was one and a half semesters fucking done.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're poised to be like, I'm going to finish.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Exactly. Instead it of doesn't just being seem like, so far away.
Daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they should do that. I'm shocked that they didn't. We couldn't really leave. Mm. Like, I mean, if you, like, the administration, like, knew the kids who could leave because, like, if they were in journalism or whatever, they knew, like, they were watching all the time, you know, like,
see, that's where I think that. And when I say I went to a larger school than you, let's not get carried away.
But it was quite a bit larger. Like, how many people were in your
graduating class?
Your graduating?
260.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Much bigger than us.
Yeah.
I had 180.
Okay. Yeah. So.
But we were big.
Yeah.
So there's normally like 160 people in my class, usually, but we were a big bunch.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't know absolutely everyone, but we did have a security guard that would drive around in his little golf cart out in the parking lot. If you had to leave, if you had a legitimate reason to leave, you'd get a blue slip from the front office.
Yeah, they would do that.
So I just hung on to a blue slip that I got
and
one
just
year.
Walked around with it.
And when I went out to my car, I would just make sure I was holding it very visibly. Mm-hmm. And I assume that he saw the blue slip and was like, oh, she's got a reason.
Roll.
Yeah. And then maybe he got to see, like, know me and, like, think that I left for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's just like, I just kind of fell through the cracks.
I forgot. I did skip one class every day. I'm remembering now. I took photojournalism and everybody in photojournalism fucked off.
Yeah.
And I had a camera and I would just get my camera and walk around the school and I would go hang out with my friends at lunch because we had A lunch and B lunch and I had A lunch. And so then I would just like grab my camera and go to B lunch and just fuck off there. And I did it so much. All of the people there thought I had B lunch.
Yeah.
And so I just did both lunches and skipped journalism every single day.
We got to talk.
We are really struggling.
You know what? It's only been 35 minutes. Sometimes we shoot the shit and we don't use maybe like an hour's worth of stuff because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, we got to like warm up.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I'm warm, ready to go.
And I'm excited about today.
I am too.
I've been excited about today for a long time.
I have too. I really have. And I am very excited to be aligned.
I thought you were going to say be alive.
I'm living life.
I am so happy to be alive. What are we doing today?
We are going to Hearth Wisdom.
Yes.
And we are going to get all kinds of cool things done. And we are getting Aura photos. That came out very Southern.
We're getting our photos. With you. It's almost like you were going to just say our photos.
We're getting our photos. We, along with that, are, it's kind of a before and after process.
Yeah.
Which I really am super into.
Yes.
I'm ready for it. And so basically, it's a chakra photo.
Yes.
And
it's an aura and a chakra.
Yeah. In one.
In one. Which I'm excited about.
I am too. And so, like, yeah. And it'll have, like, your aura that kind of comes from around you. It's not like one of those aura photos to where it's, like, you still see yourself and there's, like, the color on top of it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those? To where it'll be, like, a picture of someone against a wall and then... And so the chakra one has, like, a... It's like a body form. It's not you, but it captures your light or like you, it captures the frequencies that come off of your body and the color that's associated with that frequency wave. And it does that for your aura. And it also does it for each one of your seven chakras. Mm-hmm. So you can see their size how healthy they are. So they take a before, and then they use that to work on your chakras.
Now, I'm really interested about that aspect.
I can't wait.
Of it.
I cannot wait.
Because I can't wait to see where you and I differ.
Yes.
And then also the work that's going to be done on us.
Yes.
How that's different as well.
Yes. I trust the women at Hearth Wisdom. Mm-hmm. They are real witches.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to be aligned and worked on like that. It's a little bit of it's a little bit of self-maintenance, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird not weird, but it's a rare opportunity.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that I'm excited that we're doing this, and I don't know if we've talked about it yet, this is experiences like this are specials that we want to start doing.
Yes.
Things that maybe people have wondered about or have thought about doing, but they don't really know what it's like. Is it legit? Is it not legit? Uh-huh. Are there pros even if it's not legit? Are there cons if it's legit? Yeah. You know, how does this work? So,
or even if you're just nervous about the process.
Yeah. So Charlie and I were like, well, fuck. We'll start doing things like this and let everybody know how it all works. And if it's a good thing, you know, go get yourself taken care of.
Yeah.
It's like a good day to go get yourself balanced and aligned and things like that.
And it, in all possibility, like we're coming at this, you know, it's funny always saying that we have a skeptic's point of view because of all the shit that we're not skeptical about.
Oh, yeah.
Or have come to not be skeptical about. But truly, really, we're going to be coming at this kind of hard, I think.
Almost in a clinical way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say anything about any of the practitioners.
Oh, yeah. Or Hearth Wisdom in general.
Or, yeah. But, you know, if we come back and say, you know what, we kind of feel the same.
No bias.
Right.
That's what we're going for. Just no bias.
And we threw up over on, and this, by the way, these experiences that we're going to start doing, this is thanks to 100% like our Patreons.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who support the podcast.
This was our most recent goal, right?
Yes.
To get to this point to where we can start doing things and reviewing them for everybody so everybody can know what it's like to get these things done, from this to Reiki to, you know, all kinds of different things. I would love to eventually do like
sound healing,
shamanic type like experiences, like, you know, meditation type things. I think it's things people wonder about, you know, and it's just like, where do you even begin to research how to start doing that?
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
And I mean, honestly, even if it's as simple as getting like cards read.
Yeah.
Or going to do like a rune reading or something like that. Having somebody else sit down and read us. We just want to document these, the process and come back. And we posted up a poll on Patreon about, have you done this before? And what did you think? And the two options were, yes, I have. It was great. Kind of a positive answer. And then the other one was, I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
And
that was the majority.
That was the majority. Last time I checked, it was about 75%.
Yeah.
You know.
Not sure.
Not sure. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised to see so many people kind of being skeptical about it.
Yeah. And that made me more excited.
You know what? I was kind of like, this is cool to see that equal balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of stories from people saying, yeah, I went and I did it at a fair. And
yeah.
I think it was spot on. We got a couple of people say that they did theirs and they felt like it was really off.
Yeah.
And then my dad said something that I think is hilarious, ever the skeptic, telling him the process. I was like, yeah, we're going to go get these photos and they're going to put us in front of some kind of camera, take our photo, and then they're going to use everything at their disposal to change the color.
To,
you know?
To balance and like,
to
get everything.
See, you know, whatever. And when I said they're going to use everything at their disposal, my dad kind of under his breath, he was like, you mean like Photoshop?
Yeah.
So.
But I think that's a common opinion.
Exactly.
You know, and
we're going to be on the lookout, you know?
Yeah.
Not that I really don't think that's the case, because I think it is probably it's the machine, you know, you're probably just using the machine as
I think
intended.
It's a loose science,
right?
However, I think that there is some science to it,
sure,
you know. And if you believe that everything is energy and that you do have these energy centers and frequency waves do have associated colors, that at its base concept, I'm like, I can get that.
I can
get roll with that,
right?
You know, we'll give it a shot. And I'm excited because it'll be done. Here's the thing. And I'm sure other people feel this way too. I'm very particular on where I'm going to get worked on.
Mm-hmm.
As much as like at the witchy bazaars, I've wanted to get Reiki done.
Yeah.
Since I'm always picking up on everybody else's energy around me, I know I could not get into it. Mm-hmm. But walking into the energy of Hearth Wisdom, I feel like I'll be able to focus and be like, all right, I can do this. Instead of being like out in the open and anytime someone walks by and they're angry, I'm like, I can like feel it, you know? So I'm very excited about that, to kind of get that more intimate type work done. And I just feel like I'm going to come out of there just fresh as hell. Like just absolutely like
spiritually fresh.
Yeah.
And we're going to bust this up into two pieces.
Yeah. This is part one.
Part one.
Our whatever preconceived notions that we might have.
Yeah.
As well as like,
a self-diagnosis.
A little bit of a, how we think our individual seven chakras are doing. Yes. And then we'll compare our intuition with the photo.
So I think we should start one by one, talk about our chakras and see, just kind of compare, see how we
I love we this. Think. Oh, okay. So, and I don't know if we've said this already, but this is going to be a very loose episode. You know, we're not doing individual topics like we usually do.
This is
a special, and Charlie and I are just going to talk about what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And kind of how we're feeling.
See where it goes.
Yeah, man. So I guess we can start with the root. It's chakra one.
Give us a brief rundown on what the root chakra is all about.
So if we all remember, your root chakra is your primal physical needs, things like that. You know, you can think a little bit about the bottom tier of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's things like survival, shelter, food, water, your self essence. Like if the grid went down, the animal self. So how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling in regards to kind of connecting to your spiritual, raw, you know, animal energy?
And see, this is where it gets a little bit weird, is because obviously we have everything we need to keep our bodies alive.
Yes.
We have food and water and a roof overhead. So in that aspect, I'm pretty cool, you know? Yeah. But as much as I want to say that I think I struggle to connect to that sometimes, I find it so easy to slip into that mindset.
Yeah.
I find it so easy to like become her.
Yes.
Give me some music with a good drum beat.
Yes.
And I am out in the dirt.
See, I think mine right now is going to be pretty flourished because I spent all last week.
Yeah.
Out on the porch planting things.
Right.
You know, I was out and I had dirt under my fingernails and my feet were just black with dirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was covered in bug spray and sand was stuck to it. And I felt so earthy and gross almost every single day. You know, and I repotted all my ferns and I got some rosemary and planted it. Mm-hmm. And I preened my fern. So I went in there and pulled off the dead fronds and cleaned. And something every day I was out on that porch and I just felt so connected to this planet that I feel like my root chakra is going to be looking pretty
good health.
I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very vibrant.
Yeah.
I think at the moment.
I think mine will be neither flourishing nor failing. Like I think it'll be pretty okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but yesterday I did have some weird music going and I really was feeling it, so that might affect it. We'll see. I'm going to go with a good 5 out of 10.
Okay. Okay.
For me.
Okay. 50 percentile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay. So then we have the sacral chakra.
Yes.
All right. And this one, you know, you have the orange coloring that is associated with this one.
Yes.
So on the images, that's what we'll see is like, you know, it'll be kind of dealing with the color orange. Mm. As we recently talked about, I think it's the most recent one that I've talked about. It kind of takes that survival primal energy and manifests that into, it's very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very associated with creativity, with manifesting, as well as emotions, things like that. It is a very emotional chakra. I've heard before, and I you know, I don't exactly know that it can fluctuate in accordance to a woman's hormonal cycle and because of that, I think mine is probably maybe a little bit going at the moment, you know, like it's going to be kind of, so I feel like it won't be like, yay, you know, like I'm living via my sacral chakra, but I think it might be, you know, at least opaque. It'll look like shit's happening because shit's happening.
I think mine might be kind of blown out right now. Really? Yeah. I think that not only have I been feeling my emotional self, but I have been living in her a little bit. So
yeah.
I've been in my feelings a lot.
Well, oh, I guess I should say, I don't know. Mine might be kind of fucked up right now because of Jorah being missing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I'm recovering from 2 weeks of just mental insanity of just, you know, I mean, and it was so all in. It was consuming. July 5th. Jorah went missing.
Presumably because of fireworks.
Well, he was fine on the 4th. I got him up. You know, I put him up. Fireworks started being popped at like 5 p.m. And I just didn't have him inside yet. Mm-hmm. I should have. He's an excellent outside dog. He's a chow. So he's a perimeter dog. Mm-hmm. He does not leave his homestead. And he protects that. And that's his world. So therefore, he was able to be left outside. And I can trust him. I had a chow chow before for 13 years. She lived all 13 years in her perimeter. They're smart. They're savvy. They're just a different breed. They're not like Pyrenees that will wander away. Yeah. You know, they like, he doesn't want to leave because it's like, this is my fucking land.
Yeah.
Like, he won't even shit on the property.
Right.
Like, he'll go to the edge of in his brain. And it's funny because I know his edge. I've seen him make it and he like patrols it. That's where he'll go, but he will not inside. He's proud of it, you know? However, when loud noises such as thunder or fireworks happen, all of that savvy and wit apparently vanishes.
Yeah.
And so he got super scared and he took off to like a gas station, like a mile from the house, upon which two girls who go to UNT found him. And he had a call.
Is, by the way, 100
miles
away.
It's 100 miles away from my house. And so, but they found him at this gas station a mile from my house and they were visiting family because it was 4th of July weekend. And he had a brand new frou-frou haircut. I mean, like, he was shaved except for a big palm on his tail.
He was clearly cared for.
Cared for. And he had a hot pink collar on. I mean, like, very glamorous. Yes. And he had his big plumy tail and his big round head because they left all of his head fur prancing up there. But he was scared. And so the girls, there were three people involved, two college girls and a guy who wanted to just take him home.
College kids!
Goddamn stupid college kids.
Kill himself all over my property.
Dosey of a day. And so they, this guy was like, I just want to take him home, you know, and then the girls were like, no, we need to take him to a shelter.
Right.
And I found this out the next day after I went to the business because I started to realize it was very weird. I noticed when I hadn't seen Jorah and it had been about, I mean, usually if I'm outside, he's there because he doesn't go far.
Yeah.
And it had been like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, something's wrong. And I could feel it in my bones.
We were there. We pulled up. And normally when you pull up
he's
to
there.
Macy's house, he comes and greets you.
He wedges you in your car until you acknowledge him. That's what he does.
You open it up and he's sitting there looking at you. You know? Yeah. And he wasn't there. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's happened before. But then Hunter came out to say, hey. You know, and he was like, y'all see Jorah when y'all came
in? It was something, we could both kind of feel it.
And we were kind of like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and maternally, like my maternal instincts, I was like, he's not here. Yeah. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of energy work with this, and I walked around our property feeling for him.
Right.
You know, and I like put out, and I don't know how to explain it, but I know that I did. I put out like this feeler, you know?
Tendril.
Yeah, and I could not feel him.
Because he's got that amber.
He does, and it's like, if you tune into that property, you can feel him there. It's his property. It's like he's a forest creature. He's like I believe the Fae watches over Jorah. I think they 100% do.
Maybe he's not only your familiar, maybe he's like a familiar to the mother.
It's something, he belongs there. It is so deeply rooted. He is a energy creature of that property. And I couldn't feel him. And I told Hunter, I said, I don't feel him. He's not here. Mm. So I went to the gas station and I was describing, they were like, oh, very, very handsome dog. Very handsome dog was here. And he said, two girls took him to a shelter. And I was like, do you know which one? And he said, no, don't know where, don't know who they were, had no description, nothing. And so fast forward 2 weeks, I've posted on every lost dog thing. We had a reward. We raised the reward. I had put flyers. I had sent flyers to all the shelters. I had contacted most of the shelters within our area and been like, if he comes in, call us because he's not fucking chipped. But it was weird, you know, and I was talking to Kim about it. She messaged me because she was great this whole time. And she was like, hey, you know, I lit a candle for you. I burned some bay leaf. Mm. I'm like, every night she was doing something.
We had a lot of witches kind of come together.
Really put some magic in. And that, I really think.
Did you feel it?
I'll explain. I have a bit of a story for you. And I guess I'll tell it now because it makes sense. I might have had my first deity interaction.
Oh.
And it was so intense. I almost, with fear.
Yeah.
It was almost a frightening experience because I've never felt anything like it. And so, you know, I was that night that I asked everybody to do something. I was like, whatever it is that you do. I woke up because I did not eat that first week.
Yeah.
I did not.
You Marco'd me at one point, and I remember I Marco'd you back, and I was like, you need to eat something. Because, like, you were looking...
I was in a daze. Like,
frail.
Because all I could do was just stew on what can I... Where is he? Because I knew he was alive, and I knew someone had him. And honestly, and I was, like, talking to Mom about it, and I don't mean... I'm, like, happy, of course, he was still alive, but it almost would have been easier if he would have been... found killed.
Right.
Because there I could have
there would have been closure or something.
And so knowing someone was out there.
Because if he's alive, you don't know what situation he's
in. Well, and I was scared because we live in it's rural South. There's dog fighting. And I was like, if someone turned him into a bait dog, I don't know who I'm gonna have to find and Liam Neeson murder. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I cut and Hunter, like, I brought that up and he was like, do not say that again. He said, don't even think it.
Yeah.
Don't even let that be an option.
Yeah.
Hunter was amazing. And, you know, he was really troubled by this because, like, while Jorah wears him thin sometimes because he's such, like, a mama's dog, you know?
He is like a mama's
dog. He was very troubled because he knows how sensitive Jorah is. And he was like, where the fuck is he? You know, we gotta get him home. And he was like, Jorah needs us. And we were on the porch one day and he was like, I just can't. He needs us, and I know he needs us. And so he was excellent at keeping things like, nope, we're going to find him. We're going to figure it out. But anyway, so the night after or the morning after I asked everybody, I woke up that morning alive, cleaned floor to ceiling, the house. I saged, cleansed. My eagle wings came out that day or my hawk wings came out that day. And I was cleansing. And it went, I mean, I was just, and it was like they, I felt the energy everyone sent. I woke up and I made it through that whole day. And I was still talking to Kim and I said, I have this feeling we are not done. I said, my time with Jorah is not over.
Yeah.
I know it's not. And I had this sense of resolve. Like, I don't really know what to do, but he's going to be found.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks had gone by at this point and I'm at work and it's a Monday, I believe, or a Tuesday. And my mom calls me and she says, I think I found him. And I very admittedly was like,
Sure.
Because I didn't know. My mom had followed on Facebook every...
She
found him. My mom's a hero. My mom did this. She manifested this. Like, I mean, she figured this out. She has that ability to, when she wants something like that, she will set her sights on it and she will figure it out. And she did. And she had followed every shelter for 150 miles.
Damn.
And so she followed them all. So when she scrolled through her Facebook feed, she would see every new dog.
Yeah.
In every shelter, every rescue group, everything.
Yeah.
And so she was up at 4:30 in the morning because she was just, and while we manifested it in different ways. So while I was like, where is he? I'm feeling, you know, we got to get him back. But I had this almost feeling of let go.
Passive.
It was because I think Mom, it was like the universe was telling me
somebody's on it.
You need to keep yourself okay because there's someone who's way better than you at this, figuring this. And I didn't know what she was doing. I had no idea she was doing that. So she sends me the link. She's like, I'm going to send this to you. And she hangs up and I open that picture and it's fucking Jorah's face.
Yeah.
His crazed, wide-eyed, terrified face up for adoption at the shelter in Denton, 100 miles away.
Yeah.
And it's him, and I see it. They had named him Mufasa, which I think is hilarious. And people were already starting to, like, comment on it, you know? And so I commented, like, that's my dog. And I put his poster up that I had made and was like, that's him. Y'all, don't do anything. And I blew up their messenger. I sent them things. And I was like, he has an ear that doesn't stand upright on the left side. Like, he has a mole over one eye. And, like, he has a purple piece on his tongue. Like, I was like, I'll prove it. Whatever you need. Like, and so then I called them right when they opened. They were like, oh, you're his owner? And I was like, yeah. And so they couldn't believe the story. And they told us eventually the two girls took him there, you know, and that's how he got there. So they picked him up in Canton and drove 100 miles away.
Which, don't do that.
Don't do that. Like, I'm glad that they picked him up, but, like, that makes shit real hard, you know? Like, it's a tricky situation. Or leave a note.
Yeah.
Something, you know, for be like, okay, if someone comes looking, like, tell them to call this number, something. that made things real hard.
Yeah.
But, like, that's where
But admittedly, it could have been a worse situation. Yes. So it's kind of like...
It's a real... Yeah. It's a pros and cons situation. But he had been there for 13 days. So if I have to say, and this is what I think the universe really wanted to make clear, if he would have been microchipped, like he should have been, this would have all been ended on July 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was when he was taken there, and he would have been scanned and we could have brought him home.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't, he stayed there for 13 days and he was a wreck.
Now he is microchipped now.
He's chipped.
He's chipped.
Yeah, he's chipped. He's got, I have fixed all of the things I have done wrong. And that was kind of like what, and I made a deal with the Fae. Oh. I went out and talked with the Fae. I didn't like make a deal with them, but I brought them an offering.
Yeah.
Like I did not make a deal with the Fae. Hold Let up. Me rephrase. I did though. I went out to the woods and I left them some honey milk.
Yeah.
And I set it out and I said, like, I just kind of talked to him. I was like, I know how y'all feel about him. Like, I know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do things right next time. But we got to find him, you know?
That's how I do is I'm like, one of my rules is I don't ever make exchanges or deals or anything with anything.
Yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll just be like, if you want to help.
Yeah.
That's on you. You
that's what it was. It was like, I know y'all like, care about him.
If you want to.
Here's this honey milk to get y'all jazzed to maybe try to put tendrils out to find out where you like to. Because that was before I knew he'd been taken.
Get y'all jazz.
Yeah. Well, and that's before I knew he'd been taken. So I was like, if he's around, bring him, you know, home. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to sell y'all my soul to do it.
Right.
But here's this honey milk. Maybe figure this out. And so I, you know, talked to them about it. But, and this is the end of this whole thing. I want to get to this deity thing. So Kim told me that she was writing me, and she, after I told her when he was found, you know, and she lit a black candle for Hecate because, you know, black dogs and things like that. And she'd been, you know, and I was like, that's a great idea. I need to thank her, you know, because it was, I think everybody did really help with this, you know, and I think, you know, if this energy of these deities is real, maybe she was like pushing mom and keeping that drive or whatever. And I know Kim had been working with Hecate.
Yeah.
And so I got in my bath and I put on, I have this, it's that same one in the photo shoot, that tall black candle and that red candelabra.
Hecate candle, right?
Hecate candle.
Yeah.
And I lit it and set it on the bath, and I had some like real chant induced, like trance inducing music on. And I lit this candle and I was already feeling it, you know, and I did some gazing for a while and I was just kind of projecting that gratitude and that, you know, I didn't really know what to do because I've never communicated with a deity before.
Yeah.
And I still, you know, at that point kind of was like, I don't even know if this is going to, you know, do anything because I've never had that experience.
Yeah.
But then I started getting real deep. And I felt this weird feeling of being pulled downward.
Mm.
And I felt myself being pulled through soil, being pulled through earth, being pulled down, and then breaking through this layer of soil. And I could feel the difference of the layer I was in. I started to be like, this place
almost
is
like the underworld?
Yeah.
Where like Hecate
is? And it was so... I could feel the energy and I could legitimately feel half of my body being inward. And I had the thought of, if you pull through, this is deeper than you've ever been, you know? And that's always what scares me is because I'm like, what if I can't come back?
Right.
You know, I just have that fear.
Yeah.
And I severed finally. And so I was like in this layer fully and I could start feeling the power of being where I was, you know, like it was somewhere different than I had ever been. And then I got overtaken by the strongest presence I have ever felt, ever felt. And it's like, it's not that I could see in, like I could feel in my mind's eye that I was in a different layer. Mm. My spirit was in a different place and I could feel that I broke through and I had gone downward, which is, I think, more not to be taken literally, but like, you know, like spiritually to a different plane.
Yeah.
And this presence just came over me and it was so intense, and I could feel it everywhere, and I couldn't almost contain it.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. And I could feel myself shaking and tense, and I was just trying to contain what was there with me. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly so much. I pulled out.
Yeah.
Like I could, and I just sat there and I was shaking, and I knew what, I don't know what, but it wasn't scary. It wasn't evil. I want to make that clear.
Well, I mean, we misuse the word terrible a lot of the time.
Yes. And that's what it was. Like a terrible beauty.
Yeah.
You know, it hurt so much just to try to comprehend it.
Yeah.
And that's
really... And I hate to, and I'm not trying to reduce it to this and be funny, but you know when Galadriel...
Yes.
When she's doing her thing in place of a Dark Lord.
And it's like channeling, you know? And it's like I met something in that that terrible awe.
Yeah.
You know? And it was there, and it let me know, you know, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
It's almost too much.
At the same time,
there's no mistaking.
Well, and I feel like there was a tone of... I'm real now.
Right.
You know, like your arrogance needs to be dialed back a little bit. And I could feel that, you know, and it was almost like a, let me show you what's here.
Yeah.
And I came out of it and like, I stewed on it for like a day, and I was sitting with Hunter and I told him about it. And there's some things I do tell him and don't, not because I'm afraid to, but because it's not necessary all the time. But I was like, I got to tell you something. And, like, I told it to him, and he just kind of, like, had his eyebrows raised, and he was like, huh. Mm. Like, you know, like, I could tell, like, the gears were turning, and he was like, that is pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know? But I think I did have an interaction. I think I have met with Hecate.
Yeah.
And my eyes are watering talking about it.
They like, are,
it was so intense. I've never felt that, and I'm excited to start working with her again. Yeah. And so Jorah is being watched over by the Fae and Hecate. He's a very special boy.
She does have that
the soft black dogs spot
for the black dog, you know.
Yeah, and he so deserves it.
Yeah.
He would be a dog she'd be looking over. He's just all pure.
Uh huh.
There is not a non-pure thing about Jorah,
which would make sense because even in his hours of need, he is still being watched over by something. Because tell them the weird luck.
Okay, so here's the thing, Jorah. I don't get it. He should not, and not because of this instance, he should not be alive for a billion different instances. Yeah. But he always, through life, and you know, even before I adopted him, I don't know much about his story. I know he was abused. Mm. I know that he ran away. Uh-huh. I know he was picked up and he was kept in pretty terrible confinement for a year of his life.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, he's lived a very hard life, but he has this result. He has this... happy at his core spirit.
Yeah.
And he almost broke, because like a symbol of a dog going mad is they'll spin.
Yeah.
They'll just spin and spin and spin. And he had lived in the shelter for a year. And by the time I met him, he would just stand in his kennel and spin.
Mm.
And just spin and spin and spin and spin. So it took me about 2 months just to get him to be a dog.
Yeah.
And then it took about a year and a half to 2 years to get him to be fine.
Yeah.
But either way, you know, he could have easily died during that time. He should have been put down,
mm-hmm.
but because it was a kill shelter, but the manager just liked him and let him live for a year. That place had a 3-week window and he lived there for a year because he just was liked.
So that's our first instance of him being lucky, but unlucky.
Yeah. You know, he was in a bad place, but he was alive.
Yeah.
And that's always the thing with him. It's like he scrapes through, but he survives. And mm-hmm. it's like something just keeps him alive. And like he came to me, and like at one point at when I was in college, he got out of the gate was left open, and he went, I got a phone call, he was at the pound, got him out. Oh. You know, and like in this instance, you know, he got away, but somehow on the day that I found out later he was going to be adopted, my mom found this picture.
Can you imagine? Somebody would have adopted.
I would have never known.
Yeah, they would have just taken.
I would have never known. And on that exact same day, my mom finds his picture, and we can go get him and bring him home. He is so lucky.
Also, not to mention the shelter he was in
was bougie. And like, I've worked at a shelter, y'all. This place was nicer than my house.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was nicer than, like, hotel lobbies.
That's what you see, Martha.
It was a Holiday Inn Express. It had the same design plan.
It's nicer than any Holiday Inn Express.
It was insane. You walk in and there's, like, a gorgeous waiting room.
Yeah.
And beautiful bathrooms with, like, those fancy water bottle filler things.
Ooh.
It was so nice. And, like, he, like...
And like, the little rooms that the dogs are in, if I remember from the picture, it was like plexiglass.
Yeah, and
not like chain link
and tiled on the sides and immaculately clean. Like, no, he that's the thing.
He had a vacation.
He didn't just like... I mean, he hated his time there, but it's not like he was brought.
Yeah,
it was like he was in minimum security prison. You know. Or yeah.
Yeah,
it was like white collar crime prison.
Yeah,
you know, instead of like actual prison.
So, it was like somewhere between house arrest,
exactly,
and like, you know, a really, really bougie prison.
Exactly,
it's like one of those prisons that they have, like, you hear about, like, in Norway or something.
Yes,
where you get to like cook your own food.
They actually rehabilitate
and, like,
people.
Yeah,
did you ever hear about Al Capone's cell?
Oh yeah,
how it was like velvet chairs.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
That's basically his stay. Very, and that's the thing. He's so lucky and unlucky simultaneously.
A record player.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, tell me that something's not watching over him.
Right.
Because something is. He just bumbles through.
That's the thing, is he doesn't seem to know. He's happy-go-lucky to a fault.
He is. But that's the thing. But he's sensible. Like, he's so sensible. Just like how I could trust to let him out and know he wouldn't run away.
Yeah.
Unless his anxiety kicks in.
Yeah.
He has a big anxiety disorder. And so so we've now learned that when something like that happens, all of that savvy, which he does have a lot of, boom, gone.
Yeah,
every bit of it,
out.
He turns into a berserker mode.
Well, I remember in the first couple of days that he was gone, in the first half of it, a big storm rolled through.
I did not sleep that night because I was thinking, wherever you are, you
were freaking
terrified.
Out.
Terrified.
And he is almost a special needs dog in this way.
And that's the thing. And it was going to get to the point where, because I thought somebody had him and they just weren't giving him back. Because he was papered up locally everywhere. You could not see him.
Yeah.
If somebody had him nearby, they were keeping him on purpose.
Yeah.
And I was going to start posting, like, y'all, he is a special needs dog. Mm-hmm. Like, he takes special care. He has severe anxiety. Please bring him back because he needs me. Like, because me and him are connected. And he has separation anxiety when we're separated. And I was just, all I could think about was, he is going to lose his mind.
Yeah.
Like, so I was getting to that point. Like,
well,
y'all know he has special needs.
There was almost a glimmer of hope there. Because if someone was keeping him.
They're
going to
bring him back.
Like, and they went through what you go through when
yeah.
a dog like that goes through a storm.
Yeah.
And he shits everywhere.
I mean, it's blind
for
terror.
Out,
like,
yeah.
you'll put your hand on him. And he's shaking. And, like, the thing
and
is...
And it's scary.
And he's a great weatherman. And see, that's the thing. Like, I always know...
I just pictured him in, like, a little weatherman suit.
He will come to me. And that's the thing. He always comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's never been a problem, is because, like, say, you know, I let him out and then a storm's coming. He would come back to the house and shake. And I'd be like, all right, let's go to your little room and
yeah.
your little safe room.
He loves his closet.
He's got to have a dark, safe place.
Yeah.
He's a special needs dog. And so he came in and he always does that. But for some reason, this time, the loud noise happened and he just ran away. He's never done
yeah.
that before. And so now we know, like, okay, we had him on a way too long of a leash. Mm. We got to reel it back. But he's home. Me and him, like, the second day he was home, we took a nap together on the couch.
Home.
And that, like, sealed it. I was like, okay, you're home.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to be lost again.
Yeah.
But because of that, after 50 minutes, my sacral chakra might be.
And we're back in.
Might be closed. Okay.
But also, the swing kind of back around to finding him and that kind
it
of
might
relief.
Might be flourished.
Yeah.
You
it
know?
Might be really... It might be really transparent or something.
Maybe, yeah.
I feel like maybe that's what happens when it hasn't solidified in a certain way. Like, maybe if it's been this way and that way,
yeah.
maybe it goes more transparent.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
We'll
see.
So that one, my sacral, like I said, I should say, I'm not too sure what it's going to look like. It could look good or it could look a little tattered.
That's what it'll just have holes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some moths got in there and like chewed it up a little bit.
Sorry.
How's your, okay, so
what's next?
How's your solar plexus feeling? confidence. If overactive, you know, it could be arrogance. But you know, you're real. Just imagine that solar energy, that like that fire and spontaneity and things like that. You know, that's kind of what
I get that one confused with. I get sacral and solar plexus confused. A lot. Okay, so I think that this is gonna be one of my smaller, kind of more dead ones.
Okay.
I have a problem with confidence. It's weird, even though sometimes, you know, like with the podcast, let's put it in that kind of frame. I'm very proud of what we make, you know, and it's not an ego like, I'm from the witch bitch amateur. No, it's just a pride of like, look what we made and like, look at the community and like, you know, like, and I feel very like happy and fulfilled and like I have a lot of like brightness from that.
Yeah.
But then like in my personal life, I struggle with a anxiety disorder that really diminishes a lot of that day-to-day joy and brightness and confidence and spontaneity, you know, like all of those things. It can, it really kind of extinguishes that to an extent. So I really think that this is going to be a small or dull or really washed out one for me. So that's my bet. I'm going to 3 out of 10.
Okay. I like how you're ranking yours. With that. It makes me think of Reddit when that one person did it like 5 out of 7.
The rice.
Oh, the rice one is classic.
Yes.
I love the rice one.
Oh, 5 out of 7.
And they were like, what is five out of seven?
And then everyone was doing 5 out of 7 for a while.
I think mine's.
What a strange.
Like, 5 out of 7. What? Yeah.
2 out of 4.
I think my solar plexus is gonna be rocking and fucking rolling.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now.
Do you think it'll be overactive?
No.
Not that I'm like.
I don't think it'll be overactive, but I think it will be pretty fucking healthy looking. I've been out gardening in the sun.
Yeah.
I've started taking Jorah on runs at lunch now. Like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we're also kind of in the height of your season.
It's my time, man. Yeah. And, like, I've picked up my yoga game and, like...
I walked out this morning and you were, like, in some kind of fucking balancing your whole body on your pinky pose. It was good morning. Hello.
It was a fucking, side crow. That's what that was. It's good. I love it.
Sure. Whatever. You were off of the ground.
Well, yeah. And I, like, I've been working on it and I got into, like, 8 angles pose this week. And so I'm, like, I'm confident. And that's the thing. I'm, like... in a place now with yoga to where it's like, you know what? Because I can't just let myself enjoy something. I have to be like always like, oh, well, I can't just like do it to stretch. I have to do it to be able to like do a handstand for 4 hours. You know, like I just do that to myself. I don't know. I have to be like, oh, no, I have to master this.
A meaty skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like I'm learning new poses and shit and I'm trying to be more flexible, which is impossible. But I'm getting more comfortable and confident, so I feel like I got that going on.
Yeah.
Jorah's back home,
yeah.
You know, and so it's just, I feel like it's going to look
pretty
good.
Pretty stout.
It's going to be real healthy.
Okay.
Shiny. All shiny and chrome.
Well, Temptoa hasn't always been this good.
Oh, yes. Shiny.
Okay, what's up next?
All right, then we have what did we just do? Solar plexus. All right, yes. We have the heart chakra.
My heart might be overactive.
That's so funny you say that. I think right now mine is going to be so underactive.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
It just hasn't rebuilt from, like, so I'm still, Jorah being missing for 2 weeks was a period of the worst anxiety I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, it wasn't like we found him and it stopped, because that's not how anxiety works.
Yeah.
And I'm still having to beat it back.
Well,
you know,
there's also the element of what comes afterwards. Like, yeah, you got him back, but there's still that fear of like, is this gonna happen again?
It's taken a toll.
Yeah.
And him being gone took a huge toll on my heart chakra. So I mean, it was like I could not feel. I felt nothing but like anguish and or nothing at all for 2 weeks. You know? And so it's like, yeah, I haven't come out of that, and I still have those feelings of like, and you know, we'll take him out and things like that, but it's like, what if he gets off and he runs away again?
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it's very, very dim.
Okay.
At the moment.
All right,
like
all right.
It has not repaired yet.
I think that I am a chronic to my core romantic, and it's like almost to the point of detrimental to my life. Because I think, like, I really need someone in my life like Clark who can kind of ground me. Otherwise, I feel like I would be living on a park bench writing poetry for sandwiches.
I feel that about Hunter. Like, a little bit of a different way, but if, like, I didn't have Hunter, I would,
away.
I would become an aerialist.
Yes.
And, like, you know, like...
Well, you did buy silks.
I did, recently, yeah. I got a yoga trapeze, and he's hanging it for me today, and I cannot wait to go home.
I can just see Hunter, like, look at, like, what the... Like, just putting these...
I know he's going to pull it all, and it's just going to be a bunch of yoga handles, and he's gonna be like, what the fuck is this? And so he's figuring... And I'm glad that he's doing it, because he will hang it and make sure I don't fall and break my head open.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, like, screwed into studs and anchored, and I know if I hung it, I would just nail it to the wall.
One of these ways that Hunter is absolutely keeping
alive. Oh, it's so necessary. It is so necessary. And so, yeah, I get what you mean.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. What? Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. but I live very, I'm so, very similar to the sacral that we were talking, like emotions and stuff. I live in my emotions. And I've actually picked up like writing again. I've been writing a lot. I've been reading a lot of fucking poetry. I've been living the life of an old Victorian woman.
Yeah.
And just everything, I've been really feeling lyrics to music lately. This could also be like hormonal, but
I get what you mean on the music part. I've been really feeling music lately.
Yeah, just the core of it, and I almost live in a fantasy world sometimes when it comes to like emotional living. So I think this one is gonna be like 14 out of 10.
See, I think my heart chakra is never one of my strongest chakras.
Really?
Growing up and not originally realizing why, but now knowing that I am, like, I have, like, these empathic tendencies, mm-hmm. I really have to shut my heart chakra down.
Yeah.
You know, I never learned, and I'm trying to learn now to let emotions flow mm-hmm. through, but I've always had to wall off myself. Otherwise, I'm going to be overrun by everything around me, you know, like anger or sadness, things like that. And it's like usually in sad situations, I'm the one like, all right, here's what we're going to do because I can feel it enough to know it's wrong, but I just can't open it up because it's constant.
Yeah.
So I always kind of have to keep it shut off a little bit. And I need to learn how to, like, as an empath, and I'm getting better. You know, I'm like, but even so, like, you know, you've seen me when we have family gatherings and whatnot. I have to
dip out.
Because it's too much, you know? And so, I don't know. I feel like my heart, like, even in high school, I was not sad. I was not troubled. But on the weekend sometime, I would just get a book or two mm-hmm. and go into my room, and I did not come out. I wasn't upset, but I had to, like, let them almost just go into the ground.
Yeah.
And just get it all out.
And when you're young like that, like a young empath who hasn't put that together yet, it can be hard to separate what's your own and what's everyone else.
Yeah.
And it can be confusing. So yeah, I get that, like, kind of having to build up a wall and I get it.
Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, I've never had like an emotional, like, I don't have a heart, like a big
heart.
I don't have a heart. But it's like, I'm not a big hugger.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just because.
Same. I just don't like it.
I'm not good at, it doesn't come naturally to me, you know. I'm a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am to my core. You know, if I'm not the shoulder to cry on, but if you have cried on the shoulder and now you need to call the person to be like, how do I get out of this? You call me.
Look. Let's start a business. You and I are the perfect team.
We are the perfect fucking team.
I will be the one to cry with you, and I will be the shoulder, and we will roll in our emotions, and then we'll call Macy, and she'll actually fix the problem. So you get to feel your feelings, and then get out of it. We'll be the heart and the hand.
Whoa.
Right?
Wow.
I'm quite proud of that.
That's a fucking great idea.
I feel like I need to Google that and see if it exists.
Let's Google. We'll look on tests and see if that exists. That's incredible.
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We'll be your emotional therapists.
Except not. Because we have no certification.
Well, do you need a certification to be an emotional therapist? Like, we could loophole this.
I think the word therapist is the problem here.
Shit.
I think we would be...
Counselors.
Counselors.
Advisors.
I think you still need certification. Advisors.
Advisors.
Yeah. That's there we go.
Jafars. Okay, what's next?
Okay.
Throat.
The throat. I think my throat's a little fucked up right now because I've been having throat problems. Mm. And, you know, you always hear that, like, physiological issues and things like that can impact. And my allergies have been attacking my throat, and they have been for months now. Like, right now, my throat is so dry and scratchy.
Yeah.
And it's just been driving me nuts. And I think that I'm going to have a kind of a dim.
Yeah.
Just because it's weak. It's having to try to fight off this for 6 goddamn months now.
I think that mine might look very similar to that test photo that we saw. Very small.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I envision mine, I just see just tiny. It might be super blue, which I don't know what that means. I'm very excited for them to tell us what all of these colors and things mean. But I think this one might be a good 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Because we do, like, there's a lot of factors with us in the throat because we do talk. And a lot of people do hear our opinions on things.
Yes.
However, in my normal life, my non-podcasting life, I have a hard time speaking up.
See, I feel like and especially lately, like there was a situation this week, I can do it very well. And I feel very confident in that. So I think while my throat is sick.
Yeah.
I think it'll be not healthy, but not teeny tiny either.
Yeah.
It's going to be there, but it's not going to be one of my strongest ones.
Right.
I think for sure.
What do we have? We've got third eye?
Third eye.
Are we up to the third eye?
Third eye. Get a long eye.
I just envisioned an actual long eye. Gross. These cerebral type chakras are, I think, going to be pretty strong for me.
Yeah.
I work in spirit. I connect very well. I've never had a problem opening up the third eye. I've never had a problem seeing, quote unquote, you know.
Like things in your mind's eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I've never had a problem seeing that. I've never had a problem. And to me, the third eye is so much more about, like, than just envisioning things. It's knowing when there's someone there kind of with their hand.
To me, it's your intuition kind of begins and, you know.
I think this one for me is very healthy. 9 out of 10.
I think mine is kicking ass too right now. I used it a lot when Jorah was gone and it got me through.
Well, yeah, if you're out feeling.
I was, you know, I was feeling for him. I was communicating with beings.
Mm-hmm.
I had the instinctive feeling, especially after everybody sent me some help, which I greatly appreciate. I had this intuitive feeling of, he's gonna come back. I don't know how, but I'm not done. And that's the only phrase it kept repeating is, we are not done. Me and him are not done. And, you know, I was feeling for him on the property. I could tell he wasn't there. And then the interaction and meditation with Hecate, you know, it's like, I feel like that's, I worked with the mother a lot and talked to her. And so, I mean, I really turned to the metaphysical world a lot, and I think it's how I got through it.
Yeah.
And I do feel like the metaphysical world at the end was like, let go.
Yeah.
You know, get the house ready, get yourself right, fix yourself. And, something's happening, but you're going to have to eat and you're going to have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and then I had this optimism of like, I'm still looking, but I feel like something's going to happen, but I don't know. It was super weird. So I think it's good. I think it's healthy. So the crown is kind of a tricky one, and because it gets lumped in a lot with the third eye, because the third eye is kind of your gateway, you know, but the crown chakra to me is that's, you've reached your heightened spiritual. It is your spiritual astral, almost, like, to me, like, it is that peak awareness and communication with spirit. You become spirit. And I have to say, like, while I think my third eye is usually pretty damn good, I have a hard time letting go to, it's like I talked about in the Hecate meditation. That was the first time that I was like, just let go. Because it's always, I have 1 foot out and 1 foot in. You know, and like, I could feel it in that meditation, like half, like I could feel I was in, because that I could feel the intenseness of wherever I was. And then I could feel almost like still the tide of this one. And I had to let go. And I think because of that, my crown might be
a little shrunk.
Well, finally, kind of something, you know, because it's like, well, I can dabble in that world. I don't really ever let myself enter it.
Yeah.
You know, and I finally did, and I communicated with something far beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's going to open and kind of flourish it a little bit.
I didn't even realize it at the time, but one of the first chakras I ever worked with was crown.
Mm.
Because I worked at a particular spa. I was a massage therapist, and the lady who came through and did all the training and everything, she showed us, and she was like, and she showed us like a move, like, and I now know that this was a opening of the crown chakra movement, and I would do that on a lot of people that came through, and mm-hmm. I would do it like on myself, and it's a very like close, and you physically kind of open them over the head.
Yeah,
almost like, you know that thing when somebody cracks an egg on your head?
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah,
thing. It's almost like that, and you kind of do that, one of those, and then at the very end you would kind of put it all back together.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I worked with energy, and like I feel like it was very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, again, these two upper ones, like I think this one's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it.
It's going to be good.
I think it's pretty good. I do. It may actually not be as good as a third eye, because I think the intuition part and the being able to kind of, I've always been able to see people for who they are,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? There's been several times in my life I've met people and everyone loves them. And I'm like,
you can feel something's not, wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't. And then you find out later, or, you know, even just being like, this person isn't as bad as everyone said. Like, yeah. Why?
What's,
you know,
the problem?
So I've really had good luck with seeing like people for who they are and stuff. So I think my third eye might be a little bit better, but
I think mine is too. I have stronger intuition than, like spiritual,
right?
Like full spiritual connectedness. Right. I'm still having to learn how to let go of control.
I
want to control that, you know, and the thought of not being, you know, just like the whole, like, I'm going to astrally project and I'm going to freak out because I'm no longer in a state of full control anymore. And I am, because people do astral travel in perfect control, but it's the unknown, you know, I can't like fully with confidence step into that.
Yeah.
And I did for the first time. So I feel like instead of being nothing, my crown at least is going to be like, it's going to be there. Yeah. It'll be there. Yeah. And see it.
I'm calling this a 7 out of 10.
I'll give mine a 5 or a 6.
All right, cool. So there's our guesses.
Our self-diagnosis.
Our self-diagnosi. And now I would like to very briefly, because we're gonna have to kind of get going here soon, but I want to very briefly talk about what we think the process will be. In my mind, we'll of course do the photo. I wonder if they're going to feel anything beforehand, or if we're just going to jump in with the photo.
I don't know.
And then what are they say they will work on us afterwards. So we're going to, here's basically what we're doing. Now that we've had a whole episode, let's tell you what we're doing. We're going to go have these photos. We're going to see an actual physical representation of the color and the size of our auras. They're going to tell us what that fucking means, what the color means, the opacity means, the size and everything to it. And we're also going to look at our chakras again, how big or opaque or whatever they are. And then they're going to tell us what all this means and say, look, this is small. And that doesn't mean bad. It just means that you're not utilizing it. Mm-hmm. It could mean way different than we are imagining
right.
it. And then they're going to use, I don't know, what like fucking crystals?
Crystals and I think smoke? Sound clearing and all kinds of different things. Like they go through several different methods.
Yeah.
Different things, and I just can't wait for that. Yeah. I feel like that will feel like getting a massage.
Exactly. And what's nice about that is, as much as you can work on yourself, and as much as if Macy stood up in front of me, I feel like I could confidently work on her and work on her energies, and her vice versa to me.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's something about going to a professional, not that we're not professional, but going to someone who does this so often and with such confidence, to really, you know, I think we're going to be in trusted hands.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Well, and few things feel better than activating a chakra. Mm. I've done it in meditations, and when that thing lights up, oh, it feels incredible. And I feel like all 7 are just going to be lighting up today. Dang. And it is such a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait for it.
So join us next time
mm-hmm.
when we will not only share the process with you And you could then kind of make a decision as if you want to go do something like this. We're also going to tell you what ours looked like, how right we were, what they did to fix us, and then what our after photos looked like. And then we can talk just a little bit about how we feel. And we're making kind of a smart decision. We're going to come back. We actually are not going to record it tonight.
Yeah, we're going to sit and stew on it after we go sleep on it, literally. Sleep on it,
yes. Which I think is very important.
Yeah, I want to see how I feel the following morning.
I know myself. I'm going to be riding high after this, and I am way more likely to come on here and be like, it was great. Everything was great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Want to let it wear off a little bit or just kind of just contemplate.
Stew.
What happened?
Soak.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have great dreams. Ooh. Maybe we'll, you know, how did you sleep? Have things like that, you know? So we're going to stew. And then stew's always better the next day anyway.
Girl, stew and spaghetti.
Oh, I will even side with meatloaf too.
Okay.
A good, it's something about it. It sits.
Yeah. Mm. It soaks up mac and cheese.
Oh, baby. Really most things.
Most
And I'm a things. Cold food eater.
I will fuck with cold spaghetti.
I will eat cold food sometimes more than hot food.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be slapped around the waist for this. I do not like cold pizza.
Oh, I love cold pizza.
I know that's a thing that people love.
I chill my red wine.
I don't like, I will not drink a body temperature wine.
I will. I'll fuck with a room temp red wine, and sometimes it's what I'm in the mood for. But if I'm just like hanging out, I will take that same red wine and put it in the fridge and enjoy it twice as much.
We've put ice cubes in our wine before.
Yeah, man.
And cold chicken.
We learned that one from our moms. Both of them.
Good old Southern tradition.
Put some ice in your wine.
Big glass of white wine with an ice cube.
Ting, 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 ting.
No mistake in it.
Mm-mm.
That sounds refreshing. Okay, boys and goyles. Okay, ghouls and what is it? Goyles and boils. All right, kids. Let's go get some chakra work done.
Chakras are all igniting.
I feel like this is where we need to drop in, like, next time on. My chakra looks like what?
Very no sleepy. Yeah, the talking voices, you know?
We're doing this at our own risk. Call me Peter Lewis. My toe broke off.